expectation be carried over to us here this morning in Jesus' name, Lord. We worship you, we honor you, Lord, with expectation, Lord, with obedient hearts and minds, submissive to your will and your way this morning in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord together.
Thank you.
I'm still thankful that His blood still works. How did I get through that impossible situation? That blood never lost its power. That's how. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning's lesson in our adult class goes along with Pastor Appreciation Month, and it's titled, God Places Leaders in Our Life. And I'll get right into the text this morning. It's in 1 Samuel 3, verses 19 through 21. It says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. In chapter 7 and 3, it says, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on the day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. You could be seated at this time. I just love this example where God places a leader in God's people's lives. And it's always to be an example and to stand in the gap and to lead God's people closer to him continually, no matter where they are. If things are going good and things are right, God's going to put a godly leader in his people's lives to, okay, we've been here, we're comfortable here, but let's get a little closer than where we were before. If we've strayed, they're there to put us on the right path, to get us when we've been derailed. So godly leaders are so instrumental in our life. It's not about the foolishness of preaching that we are even saved. So, and it is from those godly leaders in our lives that we are here today. It's Michael Hixon was rescued during the 9/11 attack on the Twin Towers in 2001. By a dog named Roselle, leading her blind master and others down nearly 80 flights of stairs in tower number 1 that morning. The Labrador was a hero, guiding them through fire and thick smoke, and finally safety outside the building just seconds before it collapsed. This story reminds me of God's care in providing a faithful dog to lead so many people to safety. Most of those people would have died if it were not for Roselle, this Labrador hero on that day. God also has strategically placed people in our lives to lead us when we are wandering astray, times when we are discouraged, to give us sound advice, and especially when we're about to make an important decision in our life as well. We can be assured that person will help us arrive at the right place at the right time in our lives, right when we need it. God is a fairly timely God, and it's our responsibility when God speaks to us through godly leaders to be attentive and to hear his voice through godly leadership and to respond accordingly. There was a group of weary soldiers during the Revolutionary War who were using the last bit of strength that they had to dig a trench to shelter themselves. Instead of offering to help, the leader of the group of the soldiers shouted from the sidelines, threatening to punish them if they didn't finish their work within an hour. Their soldiers and their leader barely noticed a stranger who rode past on horseback. The stranger asked the leader, why aren't you helping these men dig the trench? Offended, the leader responded, because I'm in charge here. If you don't like it, get down in the trench and dig with them. To the surprise of everyone, the stranger grabbed a shovel and began digging. He stayed until the job was completed. After taking a few moments to congratulate the men on a job well done, the stranger approached the leader and said, if in the future you find that your exalted rank prevents you from supporting your men, notify your superiors and I will find a more permanent solution for you. Immediately, the arrogant leader realized that he was speaking to General George Washington. The beginning of our text talks about the word of the Lord was precious in those days and there was no open visions. This is also implying that a direct word of God was rare at that time. So there was some skepticism as to whether if somebody says they'd heard a word from the Lord, whether it was really a word from the Lord or from an actual person. Some Old Testament scholars even said that they believed that Eli never even heard a word from the Lord. That's what they also believed. And given Samuel's age and the fact that the older and wiser and more well-seasoned Eli had never received a direct communication from God, would understand the confusion when Samuel kept hearing a voice, and he kept responding and going to Eli. Eli, is this you speaking to me? And I heard this again. Eli, is this you speaking to me? The third time, is this you speaking to me? So there's a similarity between hearing the voice of God and hearing your pastor, your mentor's voice in your life, because the two go together. Nobody just nonchalantly, Brother Johnson, Brother Wells, Brother Davis, nobody just carelessly gets behind this pulpit without prayerful consideration and being led by God on what to say and how to say it. And sometimes they don't always know who they're directing this word to, but the Spirit of the Lord does its work in a service and gets very specific with us. It's like arrows that go out from a bow, and it hits us right in the chest and say, this is the word of the Lord that I needed for this particular time. And God has that ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to us directly what we need to hear right when we need to hear it. And it's our responsibility as a child of God to respond accordingly. Yes, I received that word. Are we going to receive God's word no matter good or bad? Or are we going to reject God's word no matter good or bad? And it's our responsibility. And as Samuel learned from a very young age, to hear the word of the Lord, to be attentive, to be obedient, to be submissive to it, but also to say, whatever, good or bad, I'm going to convey the word of the Lord to who I need to convey it to. And having that obedient spirit, God is able to use any of us in a greater capacity. Some of it hinges upon our willingness. Are we able to hear the word of the Lord? Are we going to pick and choose what God is telling us to tell somebody else? You know what? That might be offensive to somebody else. I'm going to limit what I'm going to say because I want to be a people pleaser. If you want to be a people pleaser, you're going to offend God, and I don't want to offend God. I'd rather offend man than offend God. There's no place in the kingdom of God to be used as a leader in any small capacity, whether it's being an altar worker, whether you're working one-on-one, or if you're going to speak to a group of people. If God has a word for you to tell somebody else, it's very imperative that you say it exactly, no more, don't add to it, don't take away from it, because that is a message from God himself. It was in verse 19 that Samuel's influence was great and that the Lord did not let none of his words hit the ground. None of Samuel's words were wasted or empty. If God gives you something to say, if God gives a leader in your life something to say, it's gonna hold weight to it. There's going to be some validity to it. There's going to be a confirmation to it. God will assure his word. They're just not empty words, but they are going to confirm themselves with signs and wonders. It's for a plan and a purpose for a particular time in your life. It is no accident. It's in verses chapter 3 and 7. It says, he did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. But from the very first time he would hear the voice of God, Samuel responded in obedience. It's being obedient, saying, God, what do you want me to say and how do you want me to say it? It's just having that heart of obedience, heart without hesitation. Samuel, from the very beginning, he was eager and willing to respond to the voice of God in his life and not say, you know what, I just can't do this. God, you got the wrong person. I, in my human nature, have done this and have questioned God many times. Why are you using me? You have got to have picked the wrong person. But he assures me that I work through imperfect people all the time. And it doesn't matter what you've gone through or who you are. I just want my message to be clear to the people. And he uses people to work through. And no matter who it may be, he could use an animal to speak to us if he wanted to. It doesn't matter who it is, but it does matter how I respond to the word of the Lord, always. Samuel's obedient spirit at this point in his life is incredible. He faithfully served his mentor Eli, but he willingly answered the voice of the Lord without hesitating. He knew how and where to deliver. He knew the background, even though Eli may have never heard an actual word from God. It was at the end of the day with heavy eyes, with oil still in the lamp, when God begins to speak to Samuel for the very first time. I believe it's amazing to hear the voice of God, whether you hear it as he's drawing you before God fills you with his spirit or even afterwards. It is something that reminds me of this scripture in Philippians 3 and 12. It says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I want to go after that voice that first spoke to me. And that's the way Samuel was. I heard something that I don't know if anybody else heard. There's visions that I know that we're just dead at this time. But I want to go after this. I want to be attentive to it. I want to be obedient to it. I remember God calling me to holiness after he filled me with the Spirit. And it was so clear. It was so unique, like nothing else I could ever experience or describe. And I didn't have an obedient heart and spirit to that, to what he told me to do, to be separate from everybody else in the world. I want to do what he wanted me to do and how he wanted me to do it. Live separate. Live a holy life. And I did it without hesitation because I heard that voice and I wanted to hear it again and again. I want to go after that voice in my life. I want to continually hunger and thirst after God and hear to his voice and not let nothing hesitate from it. I don't want there any to be a blockade. And it's from being submissive, to be obedient, to respond properly, no matter what kind of news may be. I remember going into Brother Wells' office years ago, and it was like God was speaking. I saw it. It wasn't his words. It was God speaking through him to me. And it could be us collectively as a church body, as a pastor begins or anybody begins to minister behind this pulpit. It is God's message from heaven to him, through him to you. And it's my responsibility how I'm going to respond to that. And I have to be obedient to it. If I'm not going to be obedient to it, the consequences are not good in my life. So it's good to have a made-up mind. Lord, no matter what good or what bad you have news I may need to hear, my response should be always, yes, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Lord, speak to me. I want to hear you again. I just don't want to hear you one time and recall of years ago how I heard his voice once in my life. I want to hear it again and again. I want to follow after it. If God begins to distance himself from me, I want to have that hunger and thirst in my heart and my mind to say, God, I'm going to come after you. If you're holding yourself back, I don't like the separation between me and you. Lord, he may be testing us. You may not feel him. You may not hear his voice. I encourage you to have a holy hunger after him and just continue to press in towards him every day. Wake up in the morning, be eager to hear his voice. It's okay to pray, but it's just as important, if not more important, to be silent and to hear the voice of God in your life. He wants to hear what you have to say. He already knows what you're going to say and what you need before you begin to say it, but it is so imperative to us to hear the voice of God. That means being silent. That means maybe coming to an altar and don't say a word. I want to be silent. I am not here just to not have an empty prayer where I'm just kind of pacifying some time. I'm looking, hey, we got prayer for about 10 minutes. I'm just going to sit here and wait. No, I am waiting attentively. I have blocked everything else out of my mind. I just want to hear, God, what you have to say to me. I need a word from you today. I've heard a lot of noise, a lot of junk in my life this week. I want to hear exactly what you have to say. Whether it's good, I receive it. Whether it's not good, I receive it. Because you're going to give me the strength to get through this day, to get me through that hard and impossible situation, no matter what it may be. I want to hear a word from the Lord every day in my life. Whether it's a spoken word, whether he speaks to my spirit, or whether I get in my alone time with God or read the word of God and say, that's exactly what I need to get through this day. And we have men and women of God in our life to speak to us. And I'm so thankful for that. And that's what's so good about the body of Christ. And you can say, you know, the church isn't that important to me. I don't need to be here every week. It is very important to you. You do need to be here. You need to be encouraged, and you need to be encouraged to somebody else. That's why we're here. We're all in different seasons in our life. We're all at different ages in our life, and we could kind of bounce off of each other. I'm encouraged every time I see Sister Doris or the Spans back here or Sister Pat. They are well-seasoned saints of God. They don't have to say a word. Just their presence here is way good enough. And you, everyone that's been here through 20, 30 years, have been through seasons in life, you speak volumes for everyone in here, especially the first generation. You speak to me every time I see you, and I'm so thankful for the ones that speak by just being here. Hallelujah. I remember God nudging me at times to talk with someone, and I would hesitate. Somebody that may be in the twilight years of their life, not knowing what they've been through, not knowing what they're about to face. And there was this nudge I felt at one time in the mall, sitting down in the food court. And I looked over there, and I'm like, why did I hesitate to not talk to this man? He was sitting by himself. It would take a few minutes. But you know what? Those are teachable moments. And those are collateral damages that we do to ourselves. But we could learn from that. It doesn't mean that, you know what, I messed up and there'll never be an opportunity again for me to do that. But have a willingness. God, if you want to use me in this capacity to be a mouthpiece for you to somebody, Lord, I want to just be willing. Samuel had that willingness from the very beginning. Did not hesitate. He did not think twice about it. Many people God used in the Bible, he would use, even though they hesitated at first. Maybe they felt inadequate, but God desires to use us, and he calls us without, his gift and calling are without repentance. So it's okay. God has calculated in your human nature and how you would hesitate, but he has a made-up mind. He's determined to use you. He's determined to speak through you. You are a leader, and you are a mouthpiece to somebody else who doesn't know him yet. And God wants to use you to draw them to him. And that's what it's all about. And we're here today collectively to hear a word from God, whether it's during the Sunday school portion or whether it's Brother Johnson preaching in the main service. I want to be attentive. I want to hear it. God, what do you want me to do? What do I need to hear so I can respond accordingly? Because there's some lost people that we want to see out in these streets this week. And there's some people that don't know what we know. And there's some people in some churches this morning who don't feel the presence of God the way we feel. They go into a church building, four walls, and they got a steeple in the front, but we take for granted of what we feel and what we encounter every time we come into these four walls, and for them to feel the presence of God outside these four walls, we're taking it to the streets, we're going outside these four walls of what we feel here every Sunday and every Wednesday. We're taking it out there that they may feel, that they may know what we know, but they may experience what we experience, that their lives may be changed, because God is going to do work beyond these four walls in this church, and I believe that. And God is going to use every one of us as a mouthpiece, as an example this afternoon to do a work for his name's sake. He's going to do a quick work. I don't know how he's going to do it. We got to be encouraged that seeds are going to be planted here today. Seeds are going to be planted in Sandwich. We're going to see response. I believe we're going to see some fruit from the labor, from the prayer and the fasting and the preparation that's been taking place over these weeks for taking it to the streets. I am encouraged, and we should have an expectation. We should have expectation. God can change one person's life, and it will be worth it. But God could change one person's life and go home, and it'd affect the whole family. It could affect a family tree. It could affect generations. God is able to do that with one person. I believe it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is an expectation. There is a collective unity that we have here that God is going to fill the voids here in this place. Three times God spoke to Samuel, and then the Lord called a fourth time. Eli instructed Samuel to respond to the call with, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." That's good advice from a spiritual leader in Samuel's life. Maybe God is asking you to do something he's not asking anybody else. I want to be attentive. God could be speaking to you directly to go talk to somebody else at work, talk to somebody else in church. Maybe somebody needs encouragement here today, and he's calling upon you to go talk to somebody else, to maybe go pray with somebody between services here this morning. I want to be attentive and to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, however you want me to say it, I won't say nothing more or nothing less. To have that kind of mindset, God will greatly use you. He will use you over and over again. It's our job and our obligation to have that mindset, to have that spirit, to just be willing. If we stay on those rails, on that track, it is limitless on how many opportunities God will put in our path to use us over and over and over again, to reach the lost, to be an encouragement to somebody that may be discouraged even here today, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was in chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was of the word of the Lord yet revealed to him." Samuel didn't know the Lord, and he never heard his voice at this time. Even though he lacked the knowledge and understanding, he would be obedient to his pastor and to his mentor. If you haven't heard the voice of God directly to you, I encourage you to keep your ears open to hear the voice of God through your pastor, through a mentor in your life. They're there to encourage you. They're there to keep you on the right path and along the way. But always be attentive to hear the voice of God and make sure it's confirmed in the Word. There's a lot of voices, there's a lot of influences that we have in our life continually throughout the day, throughout the week. I want to make sure it lines up with what my pastor is saying. I want to make sure it lines up with the Word of God. I want it to be confirmed in the Word. What's done in spirit will be confirmed in the Word, always. It will not contradict itself. And that takes having a relationship with God. That takes being attentive and obedient, submissive, with open ears, with an open heart and a mind. God, I just want to be obedient to you. I want to hear your voice, and I want to respond accordingly. And that could be a tweaking in our human spirit, our human nature. We just have to put it aside sometimes because, to be honest with you, it all creeps in on all of us. We all kind of get settled in. We're used to rubbing shoulders with everybody in the world. But we are not of the world. We're not part of the world. But we need to be that positive influence in the world. And that just takes, Lord, if I need some tweaking, Lord, tweak my heart and my mind today. Lord, there is no time to waste. I want to be an effective witness to this lost world. I want to be effective altar worker here today. I want to respond effectively to your word, no matter what it may be throughout this day today. In Jesus' name. It was the morning after hearing God's voice, Samuel rose early and faithfully carried out his duties. He was always obedient and to hear Eli's instructions. And it was Samuel was responsible to do his part, and it was Eli was responsible on how he responded to what the word of the Lord was through Samuel. And in verse 18, it says, Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. Being God's messenger, you don't get to pick and choose what you're going to say. You just say it. You put the word forth with a clear conscience. I'd rather, with a clear conscience, say what God would have me to say and how that person responds to it. That's on them. But I have a clear conscience that, you know what, I witnessed to them. I remember being on a lift up on top of we were working at a hospital in Mendota, and this guy was harnessed in, and I was harnessed in. And I was able to share God's salvation plan about being baptized in Jesus' name, being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what? He had nowhere to go. It took a couple minutes for that thing to get back down on the ground. But I was just, the door opened and opportunity was there. I even told him of a church in his area. There's a UPC church in his area, a good hour and a half from here. I shared with him God's message. I shared with him an opportunity to say, there's a church in your area. I did my part, but it's up to him to respond to that. That seed was planted. He knows of the church in the area. Whether, you know what? The seed was planted. He's checking to see if we're obedient. He's not, his eye's on that person too, but he goes, if I could trust you with this, I could trust you with more. God wants to be able to trust us with little things. He's going to test us. He says, are you a people pleaser, or are you going to try to please me? And he's going to test us every time. But you know what? I want to pass with flying colors because I want to be used. I want the kingdom of God to advance. I want to see people's lives changed. I just want to be obedient to him. I want to have an obedient heart and mind to him continually. Hallelujah. Samuel's plea to the people to come to repentance was filled with an urgency to do due to their idolatry and the nature of their sin. It was Samuel's call to repentance was also filled with grace and compassion that would only come through Israel's true God. The instruction given by Samuel stipulated that the people return to God with all their hearts. It wasn't just an empty prayer, but Samuel was the kind of leader that got in with them, and he interceded. Though he didn't do anything wrong, though he was obedient and submissive, he got in the middle of willful, disobedient, idolatrous people, and he interceded. He prayed a prayer of repentance right in the middle of them. He didn't really need to probably pray this prayer of repentance, but he wanted to see lives change. He began to have a burden the way God had a burden for them. God was ready to pour out judgment, but he is a graceful and a merciful God. And he's slow to anger. And I'm so thankful that he's slow to anger, because if he was quick to anger, I promise you, I would not be here today. I guarantee you I would not be here today. But it was, this thing had to be done with all their hearts. They had to be all in. God is an all in or nothing. He wants everything. He gave his all, and he expects nothing less for us to give our all back to him. I gave my all. He wants everything. And you know what? When I come to that realization, yes, Lord, be it unto me according to your will and according to your way, I want to respond obediently every time. It's a good way to live a good, prosperous life. And not to struggle with trying to figure out. Human nature is one of our biggest stumbling blocks. It is along the pathway. If we could put ourselves aside and just let God have his will and his way every week, we would live a way more successful life, a way more prosperous life. We would rub off positively on so many people. I'm not saying that to condemn. I'm saying that to encourage. Because I fall in this category. Human nature always trips me up at times. And I have to get on my knees and repent. I said, get this out of the way. Lord, I want your will to be done daily. And that's just not a monotonous prayer. That's something that is prayed in other churches that don't even feel the presence of God. But Lord, I want your kingdom coming. I want your will to be done in my life today. Because I want you, the presence of God. I want heaven to come down. I want heaven to manifest itself here in heaven, from heaven to earth. And it's tangible. It's a reality if we allow it. He got right in there with them. It could be applied collectively as a church body, but could it be also individually? We can do that being an altar worker here at any given Sunday or any Wednesday night. I want to pray a prayer. I want to pray with you. I want to pray you closer to God than you've been before. I want you to come clean before God, because there's so much. This is incredible. This is like nothing else. If you want to be clean today, I encourage you to come and be baptized in Jesus' name to have your sins washed away, because it'll be forgiven and it will be forgotten, never to be remembered again. I'm so thankful for that. And that's what an intercessor will do. He will encourage. He will say, you can leave this right here. Your life could be altered here permanently. Being that effective leader, one-on-one. We all have that effective, we all have that ability to be an effective leader every time. And we should be attentive. Lord, how do you want to use me today? Does somebody need encouragement here today? Can I speak a word? I don't want to make myself available. These aren't going to be my words, but they're going to be your words, Lord, that I want to use here at the altar. Lord, what do you have? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to say it, Lord? Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. And that should be our heart and mind. And that'll be carried over to the heart and mind to that person to be receptive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The people of Israel repented of their sins and poured out water before the Lord, and they fasted together the entire day. These were both symbolic of their sincerity of repentance. And God responded by showing his people favor when the enemy attacked them. And these people were crying to Samuel, their pastor, their mentor, their leader, God's voice. He said, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. They weren't claiming idols. They weren't Ashtaroth. It wasn't Balaam. It was that day, but they were claiming Jehovah as our God. That was Samuel standing in the gap. That was Samuel praying a prayer of repentance with him. That was the people getting their mind off of their idolatry and turning away from their sins. That was the godly voice in their life. That caused them to live a victorious life. That caused them, when the enemy, when the Philistines were ready to attack, there was Samuel, there was God's people, and there was Samuel standing in the gap, and the enemy coming in, and Samuel sacrificed before the Lord. Right there in between, there was pressure. There was people crying out to Samuel, don't stop praying for us. And he heard the voices and the heavy breathing coming down from the enemy. And he stood there and he stood his ground and he sacrificed unto the Lord. And it says in verse 10, it says, the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. They went and had a victorious day. And that was just the beginning of many more victorious days. Samuel's courage and obedient leadership kept the people from being defeated that day. That's what a godly leader does. He stands in the gap and he prays for your family every day. When you're not thinking about your family, he's got a burden for your family. And he's thinking about the lost people that you have cried tears over at night. And you're like, okay, I'm going to get through this moment. I gotta do something else. But he's like, you know what? I'm going to pick up that burden. I'm going to pray for your family. I know that you have a burden for your children and they're not here today. And he stands in the gap and he prays, because he wants to be the intercessor. He wants to be that between the enemy of their soul and to see them come back to the house of God. That's what an effective leader does every day. And it's an unseen and it's an unthanked theme, that the ones that get up in the middle of the night or get up early in the morning, they pray and they intercede for you. They're constantly praying for you on your behalf. They're praying for the ones in your family every day. And I'm so thankful for that. It is so important. We should never take it for granted, especially in this month of pastor appreciation, for the ones that stand and get up to pray for us every day and our loved ones. Sometimes godly leaders have to get their hands dirty, both literally and figuratively, as George Washington did in the beginning of our lesson. When God's people are weary from the battles of everyday life, godly leaders come alongside and demonstrate his compassion, his mercy, his faithfulness, and goodness. They also remind us of how easy it is for our hearts to stray, for us to be derailed and distracted, for our human nature to kind of kick in. Those Revolutionary War soldiers had all but lost hope until their leader came along and offered a helping hand. Seeing General George Washington get down in the ditch alongside them helped them to find a renewed strength and courage for that coming battle. I'm so thankful for the altar workers in this church. I'm so thankful for a pastor and a pastor's wife that gets down and prays with us. You know what? We should take up that mantle also and pray for one another and pray with each other. Lord, I thank you for the godly examples that you have placed in this church, but I want to take that. I don't want to carry it over. You know, it's okay to bear each other's burdens, to share what God wants to do. Not one person has the ability, and God has not called one person to do everything, but we can share in this together. And I pray for the remainder of this day that we would have a spirit of unity throughout this day, that we would want to have love for one another, that we'd want to help each other, that we'd want to encourage and lift each other up. If somebody is in need, if somebody needs direction, that one of us would stand in the gap and draw them closer to Him. If we could stand at this time. They intercede gently and firmly and lead those He's placed in their care. Godly leaders dig with the soldiers, working to advance the kingdom while caring for His people. Regardless of Samuel's age, his heart and mindset was willing to respond to the voice of God no matter what it may be. I encourage you today to thank the voice of God in your life, your pastor today, this week, throughout this month, their family, the one who stands in the gap, who prays for your family every day. If we could at this time, we got a few minutes to prepare our hearts and minds, to pray for our pastor, pray for the word of the Lord that's going to come forth, to pray for us ourselves, that we would respond in obedience to the word of the Lord, no matter what it may be. If I encourage you to come at this time, find a place to pray before the classes come upstairs.